are live on the air. Welcome to the Choose to Joy podcast. This is Brother Eric, and I'm having my first late night prime time show. Man, the Lord is so good. It's 8:30 Nashville time, and we're going to have a great show. If I can get my co-host on the line. Hold on just a second. Let me see if I can get Minister Kane Reed in there. Tommy, how are you? He just sent me a text and said, do you want me to call now? Yes, Tommy, you want me to call. 8:29. Well, we're going to have a hot topic today. One I had with my boss about a couple of weeks ago. Shout out to Jeremy Lyons. He's a great guy, probably the best boss I've ever had in my life. And very generous, very giving guy. And we talked about, does God kill people? Does God kill people? And it says, Tony, press the number one button if you're online. And it says in the Bible that he actually, you know, it says that he is, I remember we're reading the Old Testament now, and I remember one scripture said one guy, because he was wicked, God killed him, just right there. And so it does say in the King James Version that God did kill some people. Let me punch Tony on in. Hold on just a second. Minister Tony Vade, now you there?
Praise the Lord, I'm here. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man. I've been waiting on you.
Oh, man, I'm not up on this new technology stuff yet, so it takes me a little while. I'm up on Jesus, but not the technology.
Well, you're just the man of the hour, man, because we kind of talked about it last night, and I'm telling you, the more we talked about it, you could just almost feel the presence of God. But what I wanted to deal with today is, does God kill people, Tony Vade? Does he wipe people off the face? Did he send the flood? Does he smite people? What's God's character?
Man, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And, you know, there's a lot of people deceived. There's a lot of people confused on this. And the real problem, Eric, just to be truthful about it, is they don't really understand God's love correctly. They don't understand God's love that's in Jesus Christ. And until you start seeing God as Jesus and Jesus as God, you will be confused like that. And I know I've been there. I mean, you know, we talked a little bit about it last night, and part of my problem when I first got saved, I probably have to go back and give a little background to make it clear, but I was raised in church. My dad was a deacon. Mom taught Sunday school class at the local church here where I live. So I can never remember not going to church.
Right.
And so in that, being brought up, I learned a lot of the stories in the Bible. And I heard a lot of stuff, but I also heard a lot of stuff that I guess you could say was accepted in the church or accepted in the religion about God that wasn't really the true God, not the God of Jesus Christ. You know, we would have this stuff, and, you know, you would hear this kind of stuff, if you don't give your tithe, then God's going to break your refrigerator down. You know, they had God as a mean person. You know what I'm saying? It's like God is a mean person. That's the way I can remember as a young person, kind of thinking about God. And you know, I can remember when I was younger too. You would do something, and people would always say, "Now God's going to get you for that," but they never said Jesus is going to get you. So automatically, in a lot of the religion that we have in the world today, people have God and Jesus different. They see God one way, they see Jesus the other way. But if you read Jesus' teachings, he says, when you see me, you've seen the Father. He said, when you hear me, you hear the Father. So, really, if you want to see God, you've got to look at Jesus Christ to get a true picture of who God is and what God does. And the devil has really, after we spoke last night, I went and read, but I just wanted to refresh myself to make sure I had it. But the devil has been tricking people like this on this subject for thousands of years. He's getting people to blame God for stuff that God's not doing. If you read in Luke 9, it's right toward the end of Luke 9, about 49 or 50 or something there, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and he had to go through a Samaritan town. And when he got there, the Samaritan people would not accept him. And a couple of the disciples of Jesus said, "Hey, Jesus, you want us to call down fire like Elijah did?" See, they had the Old Testament. They had read where Elijah called down fire and those people got destroyed. And they said, "Do you want us to call down fire like Elijah did? Because these people won't accept you." And if you read it, Jesus turned around and rebuked them. I mean, he corrected them. He got on them. And he said, "Look, you don't know what spirit you're of." See, that was not the spirit of God to get people. And the verse after that, Jesus said, "The Son of Man come not to destroy men's lives, but to save them." So God is not into destroying people's lives. And the devil is just tricking people in that thing, because when you think God is going to get you, or when you think God is mean, then it's difficult for you to go to him in a crisis to receive his love and his help, because you're looking at him as he's going to get you. And like I said, I've been on both sides of the fence, so it's very familiar to me what people are going through with this thing. But
so,
like I said,
what do you say if somebody brings to you the scriptures, how it is written that God killed such and such, or God destroyed these people?
Right. Well, I have to use, like I said, I grew up in the church, and I heard all this stuff, and for years I thought I was born again. I thought I was saved, man. I was living for the devil every day. I was a drunk on drugs, you know, been down the whole road. And on March the 13th of 1995, I was 29 years old. At 11:30 at night, I got on my knees and I gave my life to Jesus, and he come in and changed me. I mean, man, I've never been the same since. I mean, you know, he was supernatural that I was no longer a drunk. I was no longer doing drugs. I didn't want to do the things that I had been doing as serving the devil. But after I got born again, Eric, one of the first things that the Lord started teaching me, he started teaching me about his love. And at that time, we lived in our other house, and I actually had a prayer closet. I mean, our walk-in closet in our other house, we had an older house, so when we had to build on, and when we did, man, my wife and I, we built a humongous walk-in closet, and I actually had my desk in there, and that's where I would go and pray and study. So I was so hungry for God, man. You know, I was praying, and I was like, Lord, teach me, teach me, teach me. And for 2 or 3 weeks there at one spell, I would get home from work, and I would, you know, I would do my thing. I'd come in and eat supper. I would go into that closet, and I'd tell my wife and children, I said, "No, don't bother me unless the house is burning down," because God was speaking to me. So one of the first things he started talking to me about was God is love. That's what he says in 1 John, God is love. So I was reading that chapter. I was reading that verse over in 1 John, and I was just kind of sitting there meditating, and the devil came, because the devil always wants to keep you away from God's love. He does not want us to understand that God really loves us, that he's for us and not against us. So one of the first things that the devil brought to my mind, he said, "Go look in Genesis about the flood." So I flipped over there. You know, it took me a little while, so I got over at the flood, and it plainly says in the Old Testament in Genesis that God sent the flood. Well, now I'm confused. You see, I'm a baby Christian, and it's like what a lot of people are going through. It's there in the Bible, so it's got to be true that God sent the flood. But what people don't understand, when you go back as a believer today, you have to read the Old Testament in light of what Jesus taught, said, and did. So I'm sitting there now, you know, I'm a baby Christian now, I'm confused. I mean, my mind's turning flips. Well, all right, God, you're love, but right here it just says, you know, that you sent the flood. So the Lord just started speaking to me. And I'm kind of paraphrasing and trying to keep it short, but basically this is the way it went. He said, okay, Tony. He said, if I can kill people, and I wanted to kill people, he said, why would I send my servant Noah for 120 years to build the ark? And the whole time that he was building the ark, he was preaching, repent, 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 repent. And I was like, wow. And then the scripture comes to me in the New Testament where he says, it's God's will that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. And I was like, wow, Lord, you know, I don't know. And he said, it's not my will that those people die. He said, what happens is that from Adam and Eve all the way through the Bible to Revelation, God always allows people to reap what they sow. That's a principle of God. You're going to reap what you sow. It says in Galatians that if you sow in the flesh, of the flesh you reap corruption. If you sow in the spirit, of the spirit you reap everlasting life. So what happened was during the flood, that God loved those people, man. He loved them, just like he loves people today. His love was on the earth. But after that time came that Noah had built the ark and it was God's time, when those people would not repent, basically the way the Lord showed me and kind of in my mind is his love never changed, but sin got between his love and those people on the earth. And when sin's there, what does the Bible say? The wages of sin is death. So God's love cannot get to you because of sin. Death is coming to you from God. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundant. So anytime in the New Testament that you read Jesus' teachings, and it's all through there. I mean, you just go and start reading. Jesus is always saying, hey, I'm here that you have life. I come not to condemn, but the world through me might be saved. You know, even that's he told right. The disciples right there. I mean, he said the Son of Man didn't come to destroy men's life. He come to save them. So what happens is when we allow sin into our lives, or we are in a fallen world where sin is, it gives the devil the right to bring death to God's people. So, you know, and he just started teaching me stuff like that. And over the course of the time, he just showed me, you know, time in and time out, because the devil will give up real easy. I mean, a lot of times, you know, he's going to sit there, and he kept taking me to certain scriptures. And what you have to do, you have to filter everything through what Jesus taught, said, and did for us. If you don't, and you're reading the Old Testament without Jesus, you're going to be a confused individual, I'm telling you. Because he plainly said that over there. And a lot of times, people just don't want to make Jesus right. They want to make themselves right. But if you're a true Christian, you're to follow Jesus Christ and his teachings, because that's what he told us to do. So you have to line everything you read up from Genesis to Revelation. It has to line up with Jesus Christ. And that's what he was teaching me. You know, even though it said... And another thing I found later on, I've done a little bit of studying on it, you know, after that. But when the Old Testament was translated into the English, there was not a word in the Hebrew that meant permitted. It was always committed. So what you would have to say a lot of times back there as you're reading, instead of God committed it, it really means that God permitted, he permitted it to happen because of man's sin. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely.
You've got to see God is love. You've got to see that he is Jesus Christ, that he has never wanted. You know, it's like the Lord was talking to me today. You know, he was speaking to me today. If God wanted to get us, if he wanted to kill us, if he's mean, if he's good one day and bad the next, then why did he even send Jesus? Why not just let us die? Why not even just let us get it? But that's not God. That's not the true God of Jesus Christ. He's not a flip. He's not one way, one day. The Bible says that God is, or Jesus Christ, who is God, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to get you one day and love you the next. So you've got to see God in Jesus Christ. And another thing that helped me a whole lot is of course, I quoted to you John 10:10, where Jesus said, a thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. So I tell people all the time, when you see stealing, killing, and destroying, it's coming from the devil. He is involved in stealing, killing, destroy. And in James, it says, the Bible says that God only gives good and perfect gifts. So if you think that somebody dying of cancer and doing all that suffering is a good and perfect gift, then maybe you're serving the wrong guy. Do you understand what I'm saying? But I don't see that as good and perfect. I don't see somebody, you know, somebody's house getting blown away by a tornado being good and perfect. So what you have to realize is you have to take what Jesus said and look what he said and get your picture of God through Jesus Christ and make that thing. And it's one thing, I understand why the devil wants people to think that, because then he's got an advantage on them. It's just like what I said earlier. If you don't understand God's love correctly, then you're never really going to be able to trust him right. Because you don't know whether when you go and pray, whether he's going to get you or he's going to help you. You understand what I'm saying? But in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, you go to God, you always know what you're going to get. You're going to get Jesus Christ, what he did for you, what he said, what he done for you on that cross. You're always going to get the same thing, and that's going to be God's love, which never comes to stick or kill or destroy.
One thing I've seen people, you probably can testify to this, that people will say, well, and they'll be kind of bitter at God, or they just don't know. They'll say, well, God took my mother when I was a child, or God gave my auntie cancer, or my father cancer, and God took my brother away from me. And these kind of people, it's like the enemy, like you just said, has an advantage on them, because now God's getting blamed for death. And the Bible clearly says that the last enemy of God is death.
Right. I mean, and that scripture came to me today, you know, and that's like what I'm saying. Us as parents, you know, I know you've got a young girl, and I've got children, but even as parents, we're not going to put our worst enemy on our children. So God that created human mankind, he created everything down here, so he's going to send his enemy, which is death, to his people? I mean, when you start looking at that, but what happens is a lot of times, Eric, you know, the Bible says that God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. A lot of times we're just not taught correctly, or we're taught something that's not the truth in Jesus Christ. There's some truth in it, just like what I was telling you when I was growing up. There was some truth in what they were saying, but it wasn't the truth. And then what happens is, the devil will get in your mind with that stuff that's not the truth from Jesus, and he'll start turning it around, and before long you've got misconceptions of who God is and what God does. And you've always got to run back to Jesus. That's the thing you've always got to do. Anytime there's confusion, just like this situation where people think, you've got to always go to Jesus to see what he says. Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. So he's the final authority. He is God in the flesh. He is the one that knows God's thinking, because he was God. So, and another thing that I see happening a lot of times when you talk to people, they want to blame God, because a lot of times people don't want to take responsibility themselves. They're always looking for somebody to blame. They're always wanting to point the finger so it would make them feel better. And God is just there, so that's a good one to blame, I guess. You know what I'm saying? But it kind of, as a believer, after the Lord taught me, it kind of blows my mind that, well, why don't you just blame the devil? Why do you want to blame God? Why don't you blame the devil? Then you would be on track, because he's the one. Instead of you getting mad as hell at God for something he didn't do, why ain't you blaming the devil? But you never hear people, well, the devil took my child. Or the devil put this on. It's always God done it. You understand what I'm saying? And it's a trick of the enemy. It really is. Because it's just like what I said. You can see it in the scriptures and the apostles. He was trying to do it to them. They were reading back there about Elijah. Hey, let's call down fire. You know. And so he's trying to get you. Because listen, love of God in Jesus Christ on that cross, that's the only thing that'll whoop the devil. It whooped him then, and it's still whooping him today. So if the devil can get you away from the love of God that's in Jesus, he's got half the battle won, if not two-thirds of the battle won. Because he knows that if you'll tap into that love, and every time something happens, you run to that love in Christ Jesus, his butt twilled, because he can't do nothing with that love, man. He went down into hell in his own living room, man. Jesus did, and took the love of God down there, and he rose up out of it. The devil wrapped everything he had around him, and God's love brought him out of it. So the devil knows one of the first things that he wants to do to Christians, he does not want you to understand God's love correctly. He wants people to be blaming God for stuff that God's not doing, because then you can't run to him.
Let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you this. When do you tell people, when people come to you and say, I know you go to the prisons, but you say, God, they'll say to you, God put this sickness on me, or God gave me this disease, or God put me in prison, or what do you say
I had a lady, I was ministering at a food giveaway that I go to. It's been several years ago, and the lady come in, and I was talking to her, and I said, you need prayer for anything? And she says, yeah, I need you to pray. I've got cancer. I said, you do? She said, yes, God's given me this to teach me a lesson. I said, he did. She said, absolutely. I mean, she really believed that. And I asked her, I said, well, ma'am, can I ask you a question? And she said, yeah. I said, are you going to the doctor to try to get this cancer healed or fixed? And she said, yeah, I'm having to go two or three times a week, for therapy. And I said, well, ma'am, listen, you need to quit going to the doctor. And her eyes got real big, and she said, what are you talking about? I said, well, listen, if God put this on you to teach you a lesson, then you need to quit trying to get healed. You need to learn your lesson, and then maybe God will take it off of you. And she looked at me, and she said, what are you talking about? I said, ma'am, God did not give you cancer. I said, that's not God. I said, the devil gave you this cancer. He's trying to kill you. God loves you. He wants to heal you. He sent Jesus on the cross to die for you, that by his stripes you could be healed. But see, I've had them do it, I've had guys do it in the jail. They will say, well, God put me in here to teach me a lesson. No, he didn't. Because if God put him in there to teach him a lesson, then every time you and I had to learn that lesson, we got to go to jail. God don't do that stuff. Man. That's darkness. I said, man, do you like being in here? I said, and that's where I go back to the scripture. See, one of the things I always do is I give them scripture. I said, well, let me ask you something. If God put you in here to teach you something, do you believe being in here is a good and perfect gift? Well, absolutely not. I don't like being locked up. I said, well, it can't be from God then. There's no way he could put you in here if it's not a good and perfect gift. Now, I will agree with them that since they're there, God will take what the devil meant for evil and he will use it for good. I can agree with them on that. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's like I tell a lot of old guys, if you weren't locked up, if I met you on the street and tried to tell you about Jesus, you'd probably cuss me out and throw something at me. But since you're in this situation and you're here, then you're more willing to listen to me and you're more willing to receive something that I have to say to you about Jesus than you would be on the outside. But listen. God gives each and every individual a choice. He gives us a free will. God cannot make us do anything, and just to be honest with you, the devil can't make us do anything. We choose who we're going to follow, and we choose what we do. And our choices bring about what we receive in life. Does that make sense? And that's what the Bible says. That's exactly what the Bible says. You reap what you sow, and the wages of sin is death. See, it don't say the wages of God is death. The wages of sin is death. So any time that you keep sin in your life, then you can get ready. Death is coming to it. It's coming one way or another. Now, I have this question a lot to go back to kind of what you was talking about there. I've had people say, well, how about young children? They're born with birth defects and stuff. That's not God. God don't do that. God creates good and perfect gifts. And if you read, there's a story in the Bible where the disciples come to Jesus, a man was born blind, and the disciples asked Jesus, said, who sinned, this man or his parents? See, the Jews knew about this. The Jews knew that when something happened, it was because of sin. I mean, they had that much sin. They weren't blaming God. They looked at them and said, who sinned, this man or his parents? They was trying to find out, why is this man blind? What sin caused this? And if you remember the story, Jesus said, neither this man sinned or his parents, but that the glory of God may be revealed. But some were back in the ages, because we live in a fallen world and the devil is the god of this world. Sin brings that through the generations. If you don't know how to get to the blood of Jesus and stop them curses from coming down on your family. You understand what I'm saying? So
absolutely,
God has made a way through Jesus Christ to stop that stuff. Now, I'm not brilliant, don't know everything, but I do know God's love. I do know that he loves us. I do know that he's for us and against us. And what I have found out in my life, I've been born again now for 20 years. This month would have been 20 years. And what I have found out over those 20 years, Eric, is if there's something not right in my life, if something's in there that's just not right, God's not the problem. I am.
Right.
And it's
been
that way every time. It's been that way 1,000 out of 1,000 times. God is never the problem. Whenever I get to it, whenever I get to the root of it, it's me. I've got something there that I don't know about, or I've missed it and I've not repented, or, you know, maybe sometimes I just need to stand. There may not be nothing wrong. It just may be that I'm going through a test and trial, but God has never in over 20 years been the problem in my life. When things come, when tests and trials come, he's never the problem. It's always me.
Right.
So
He's the answer to all our problems.
He's the answer to everybody. He's the answer to all of it. But, you know, going back, I was telling you, we was talking about how Jesus was teaching me in the closet. And one of the last things that he showed me several scriptures that we went over. But you and I was talking about this last night.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what they say he put the nail in the coffin for me was this. I was sitting there, it was right toward the end of the 2 weeks or so, and I'd been in there reading and praying, and the Lord just started in my spirit talking to me, and it was just kind of like this. And he asked me, he said, who is my worst enemy? Well, I said, just like anybody. I said, well, the devil. The devil's your worst enemy by far. And God said this astounding thing to me, man, and it blows my mind. He said, well, let me ask you something. He said, if the devil was my worst enemy, he said, and I could kill people the way that everybody says I can kill, then why didn't I just kill the devil and do away with it? He said, if I killed the devil and done away with him, we'd not have had this sin problem. And I was just like, I don't know. And he said, the reason that I could not kill the devil is because there's no death in me. He said, I had to separate that sin. I had to get sin out of my presence. So even after Jesus comes back and New Jerusalem comes out, the devil still won't be dead. He's going to be cast with his angels into a lake of fire. So God told me, he said, I couldn't kill even my worst enemy. I couldn't kill him because there's no death in him. He's life. He's love. That's all he is. He can't give you something that he's not. He can't send something from heaven that he don't have. And he has no death up there. Because when we get to heaven, we're going to live forever. There's no death up there. So he can't give you something that he ain't got. And all he is love. All he is life.
We get to know the Father's character through knowing Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. What about natural disasters, storms, tornadoes? I mean, surely that's God doing that, right?
Oh, surely. Yeah, I mean, if you watch the news, you would think for sure, because there's always somebody getting up there saying God is punishing them or God is getting them back. Hey, listen, I'm not laughing at them because I used to be there. But I go back, they really don't understand God's love. And whatever the reason is, it's just easy to explain, I guess. But I had a guy that was, every time we kind of got together, back when I was a young Christian, that subject always coming up. And I always like answering people with scripture. And if I can't give you scripture to answer it, I usually just shut up and I come home and pray and let the Lord show me. But we met a time or two and he kept bringing up tornadoes and hurricanes. And I knew in my spirit that God wasn't doing that. I knew God wasn't doing it because that is not his character. That was not in Jesus Christ. But I couldn't really get him to see it. So I'd been praying, and the Lord showed me how to answer that. if you go read in Genesis in the first chapter, I think it's right toward the end of the chapter, it says after God has created everything, it said he was sitting there and said he looked at everything and it was very good. So God created the elements of this earth. He created the rain. He created the wind. He created whatever's on this earth. He created it, but it was very good. And that goes right along with James. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning, so he can't change. So what the Lord taught me was through that is he created everything good. But because of sin that was in the world, the devil is able to use sin that's in the world, and he's able to take what God created very good, and he's able to use it against mankind because of sin. You understand
that's
what
right.
I'm saying? So it's
yes,
not
sir.
God getting you. It is the devil that's bringing destruction. He's coming to kill, steal, and destroy, but he's wanting people to blame God for it. Listen, it's like this, man. God has blessed me so much since I've been born again. And you know the testimony. We probably don't have time to go through it all. But he blessed me and my wife, man, it's been 7 or 8 years now, with a 176-acre farm. Matter of fact, I'm standing out on the front porch, man, and it's a full moon, and what God has done for us. It's just amazing. But after he has blessed us with his farm, we built us a new house over here. I mean, you know, we've been praying and waiting on God, and it worked out, and we built this new house, and so here we are now. I built a new house, man. I'm praising God. I'm thanking God. His love, man, he's poured his love out on me. He's blessed us, and he showed us this, and he's provided this land and this house, and here we are, and I'm serving God, and I'm praising his name. And now he's going to come and bring a tornado and destroy all this. I mean, come on. That's not even rational thinking to me, Eric. He's going to give me all this. He's going to bless me with all this. And then he's going to send a tornado just to destroy it all? Listen, I'm not going to serve a God like that. I'm just not. I mean, I don't know about people out there, but I'm not going to serve a God that's schizophrenic or whatever you want to call it, that he's going to give me something one day and then the next day he's going to come destroy it. See, that's what the devil wants people to think. That's what he wants them to say. That way you never know what kind of God you've got. Unless you stay with Jesus Christ the God that created the heavens and earth is Jesus. And you'll always
stay
on track that way.
You can never trust. You can never trust anybody who's going to love you and bless you, forgive you as far as the east is from the west one day, then kill you the next because you sinned or you did something wrong.
Well, let me put it to you in the natural. I use this a lot, and to me, it makes a lot of sense. Say you and I, we grew up, man. We grew up door neighbors. I mean, from the time we was born, our parents lived there, and we were next door. And you and I were always good friends. I mean, we grew up. You know, we had a little spats every now and then, but we got over it. And we were just tight, man. I mean, you and I were tight. And we grew up. So
right.
One day you're standing on your front porch, and I'm coming up the sidewalk there, you know, and I got my hand behind my back, and you're standing there. How you doing, Tony? And I'm doing good, Eric. And I get up on the front porch, and I pull a baseball bat out from behind my back, and I just beat the snot out of you. Now, let me ask you something. The next time you see me coming up through that sidewalk and you can't see my hands, are you going to really be able to trust me? Absolutely
oh,
not.
Absolutely,
you may be able to forgive me, but you're not going to be able to trust. It's the same way with God. If you don't know what you're going to get from him every time, then how are you going to go to him and trust him that he's going to give you his best that's in Jesus every time? And that's what the devil is after. That's why so many people, he's got them blaming God for stuff that he's not doing because they cannot really trust God. They're not going to trust him. They can't go to him and get their prayers answered. And I guarantee you, those people are saying God kills people. If you listen to them after they pray, well, did you get your answer? Well, I hope so. Well, maybe so. Well, you know, it's just if it's God's will, I got it. No, you ought to know what God's will is in Jesus Christ. If you look at Jesus, you can know what you're going to get every time because all God is ever going to give you is Jesus Christ. He's only going to give you good. He's only going to give you life and life more abundantly. He's not going to give you death. He's not going to give you poverty. He's not going to put sickness on you. Jesus come and died on the cross so that we could be healed by his stripes. So God is never going to give you something that you did not see in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Something else that helped me a whole lot, man, and I use this a lot. I shared this with an older gentleman last week. He and I were out, and he's a good friend of mine, and he and I always were talking. And one thing that the Lord, that helps me a lot, and maybe to help other people, because it helped him, he said, I've never seen this. If you go read in Matthew, Jesus is praying, and in that prayer he said, Father, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, you know what I'm talking about, that scripture, I think
yes,
it's in
sir.
Matthew 7.
Well,
when I read that one time, you know, I was reading it, and the Lord started speaking to me. And he said, Tony, how is it in heaven? And I said, well, there's no sickness, there's no disease, there's no poverty. I mean, there's no stress, you know, there's no worry, there's none of that. He said, well, I want that on earth. He said, that's what I want you to experience on earth. He said, I want you to have heaven on earth while you're there. Now, the only difference is we have to contend with the God of this world being the devil, and we live in a fallen world. But you can get to a place in Jesus Christ where all hell can be breaking out around you, and you can stand there in peace and joy, praising God, knowing what the outcome is going to be, because you know how God loves you. You know that he never changes, and he never leaves you nor forsakes you. And as soon as you come out of this thing, as soon as you get through, you've got the victory. And most of the time when you get to that side, when you get to the other side and you look back, you're better off than you was when you started. Because God, he don't halfway do things. He does things to the fullest. So he's always looking to bless his children. He's always looking to give who he is and what he did in Jesus to his children. But you have to walk by faith. You have to get to a point in your life where you've made up your mind, this is God that's in Jesus Christ, and I'm not accepting nothing else but what I see Jesus did for me. If you reach that point in your Christian walk, the devil won't be able to save you, and he won't be able to bring havoc in your life. Now, here's what I say. People say, well, that means that you just got a better run. No. Jesus said in John 16:33, Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tests and trials. But he said,
sure
be
did.
Of good cheer. He said, be of good cheer. Why? Because he overcome them. What happened? His love has overcome anything the devil comes. The Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous. But what? But God delivers them from them all. The way he delivers you and the way you have good cheer is when you're in that storm, when you're in that test and trial, you got to keep your eyes on Jesus and how God loved you, and know that that love that God's got for you is bigger than anything that Satan's bringing to you. That's the only way you can have victory down here on this earth. You've got to keep your eyes on Jesus, which is the perfect image of God, which is God's love, his character, and his authority. That's what God is going to give us and nothing else. If you don't see Jesus do it in the Bible, God can't do it. And I never seen Jesus kill anybody. I never seen Jesus make nobody sick.
Let's talk about one thing Jesus did, dude. I was hoping you hit on this earlier, but talk about when the disciples was on the boat and a great storm came by.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing, you know, it goes back to what you were saying when we was talking about the hurricanes and the tornadoes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to always take Jesus' teaching. Jesus says in Matthew 12, he was talking, and he said, a house or a kingdom that's divided against itself cannot stand. Because what they were doing, they were blaming, they were saying, Jesus, well, you're casting out devils by Beelzebub. In other words, they were saying that the devil was casting out the devil. And Jesus told them, said, look, a house divided against itself or a kingdom divided against itself, it ain't going to stand very long, okay? Well, if that's true for the devil's kingdom, then that's true for God's kingdom, right? I mean, can we agree on that?
Yes,
so
sir.
When Jesus was out on the lake, he's out there, and the story is he's out in the back of the boat there. You know, he's out, man. He's back there sleeping, catching him some Z's back there in the back of the boat, and a storm comes up. Now, listen, a lot of people, you know, they think, well, this was just a little storm. No, Peter and them boys were fishermen, so they knew about storms. You know, a little squall is not going to get a fisherman that's out there. It's not going to get them very shook. You know, they just go on. But Peter and them got shook. I mean, they got tore up enough where they come and woke Jesus up and say, Master, don't you care that we're perishing, man? That, them boys
they thought they was
under.
Going to die. Yeah, they thought they
yeah,
was going to
man,
die.
Yeah, man, this was a storm. I mean, this was one of this ain't this was one of them hurricane type storms out there. So they thought they was fixing to die. They thought they was going under. So they wake Jesus up. So what does Jesus do? He comes and says, "Peace be still," and the storm stopped. Now look, here's what I'm saying, and this is what people don't understand. If God sent that storm to kill them or destroy them, then Jesus could not have rebuked it to stop it. Then he's working against the Father, and a house or kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. If God sent that storm, Jesus could not have rebuked it. There's no way he could have. The only way that Jesus could rebuke that storm is the devil had to send it, because he has power over the devil. But Jesus couldn't, he couldn't go against his Father. So
Jesus
that storm
could
not
have rebuked the storm that God sent. Jesus could,
he
not,
could
have
not
have rebuked the
because
storm.
Because then he would have been working against the Father. Exactly. You see what I'm saying? So
absolutely.
God could not have sent that storm. If he had, Jesus would have had to say, "Boys, hang on, because we going under." Because God sent it, and God don't mess up. God don't screw up, man. When God sends something, it's there. It's there. And, you know, another thing, too, on that same line, if you look at earthquakes, people are talking about earthquakes. But go back and read the Bible, man. If you go read in the book of Acts, when God sends an earthquake, it don't tear stuff up. It just shakes the jail and throws the doors open and knocks all the chains off. But it didn't destroy anything. It don't say anything about destroying anything. Why? Because God don't destroy it. You understand what I'm saying? He used an earthquake, but the earthquakes that happen today, man, they're killing people. They're destroying homes. They're destroying things. Well, what is that? It's coming from the enemy. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But that was really good about that storm, you know, that like what you said. If God had sent that storm, and that's what a lot of people think, well, God sent the storm. But if you go read Scripture and you line the Scripture up and you take two or three Scriptures and you line them up and make them line up together, then if God sent that storm, according to Jesus and his teachings, he could not have rebuked it. He would have had to let it go. But the Bible says, Jesus said, "Peace be still," and the calm come upon the sea. Why was he able to do that? Because he has power over the devil, and the devil had sent that storm to kill, steal, and destroy. He was trying to destroy those disciples, and he was trying to kill them. And that's how Jesus could set them rebuking.
A few more points I want to make, and then we'll end this podcast, which has been excellent, man. Thank you so much. One is, Jesus said he came to seek and save those who were lost, and he said that he came to lay down his life for his friends. So if God sent Jesus to die for mankind, then what good would it be that God went around killing people? And if you look at the cross, this would have been a marvelous time to wipe some folk out.
It's just like what I said earlier. If God wanted mankind to perish, if God wanted mankind to reap death and to reap misery and to reap everything that we've been talking about here tonight, then all he had to simply do was do nothing. I mean, if God was wanting his children to have death, he would have never sent Jesus. No, he sent Jesus so that his children, so that his people would have a way to battle the devil. But if God wanted to get people, if God wanted the whole earth to go to hell, like a lot of people sometimes, I think that's what they think, you know. But if he wanted to do that, Eric, all he had to do was simply do nothing. He would have kept Jesus in heaven. He would have never sent him to die on the cross. He'd have never sent him to raise. But he'd done all that. Why? Because he loved us, for God so loved the world. That's one of the scriptures. He loved the world enough that he sent his son Jesus. Why?
Amen.
So, number one, a lot of people, you know, a lot of people think when you tell, well, why did Jesus come to the earth? Well, most people say, well, he come to die on the cross. But if you really go and study the scripture, and we ain't got time to go into it, but if you really go and study the scripture, the main reason, according to Jesus, that he came, he really came to show the world God's love. That's what he did. And in showing his love, he went to the cross. But his whole ministry is, look, y'all are saying God's this way, but I'm saying he's like this. God really loves you. You know, it says in Matthew there, Jesus said, of old time, you've heard love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But Jesus said, I say unto you, bless them that curse you, do good to those that hate you, and pray for them that spitefully use you. See, that was blowing their minds because they had never seen God's love. The reason that they couldn't love their enemies is because they were spiritually dead people in the Old Testament. They had never been born again. That's why the law, they had to have the law to keep them. But till Jesus got up out of the grave and the Holy Ghost come to live in us, now we as Christians have the ability on this earth to love just like God loved in Jesus Christ. Now, how do I know that? Because Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you is that you love one another the way I loved you. If you and I was not capable of loving like Jesus Christ, then Jesus could have never gave that commandment to us because he would have had to be a liar. And he don't lie. He's not a liar. So it has to be possible, children today, to love just like God. But we go back to what we started talking about. You cannot love like God if you've got a deceived or a deprived thinking about what God's love is. You've got to see how God loved us in Jesus Christ, and then we're to take the love that was shed abroad in our heart, and we're to go to give that to other people. Now, what does that mean? How did God love us? How did Jesus love us? Well, it says while he was hanging on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, that's what it's all about. God didn't agree with the world. He didn't agree with me when I was a drunk. He didn't agree with me when I was on drugs. But he sent Jesus to make a way out for me of what I was in. And until I choose or until I made the decision to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior that night, then my life was a mess. Now, here's what people don't understand. God loved me just as much back then when I was a drunk as he does now. He just didn't get to show me his love. Why? Because of my choice, because of my decision. I would not allow God's love to work in my life. You understand? So it ain't that God don't want to show his love. It's just that the people on earth have to choose to let God love them, and the way you do that is by obeying Jesus Christ, what he taught, what he said, and what he did. Man, when you get that right there down and you read the Bible and you read it to do it, start doing what Jesus tells you to do and living your life in accordance with what Jesus says, which lines up with the Bible. Because you got these people all the time, you know, not long ago we had this big push about the Ten Commandments. And I love the Ten Commandments. They're good. But Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you. See, that new commandment he gave, that superseded everything before that. So if you'll do what Jesus said and you'll keep the new commandment, you don't have to worry about keeping the ten because you'll never break none of them. If you love like Jesus, you can't go kill because that ain't the way Jesus loved you. If you love like Jesus, you can't go commit adultery because that ain't the way Jesus loved you. So if you'll keep the new commandment and do what Jesus told you to do as a believer and you really understand God's love, and if you keep that new commandment, Jesus will start teaching you that God don't kill, that he loves you and he's for you, then you'll start giving that to other people. That's why we're in the shape in this world we're in. People don't know how to love. Even in a lot of the churches, people do not know how to love with the love of God. They've got that deception from the devil, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I heard that all my life, but Jesus didn't teach that. Jesus taught right the opposite, and that's what was blowing the Pharisees' minds back there, because Jesus said, hey, look at me. I'm God. When you see me, you see God, and you've not seen me kill anybody. You've not seen me make anybody sick. You've not seen me destroy anything. I've only come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And that's why God sent Jesus. That was his number one purpose, was to show the world his true character and his true authority that was in Jesus Christ. And that was his love and power. And when you see that, you see that in Jesus. And that's what it's all about, man.
He also said, quoting John, was it 10:10, that the thief mm-hmm. coming up and still kill the sword. But he said, I came that you have life, and life more abundantly. Now, if God sent Jesus that we can have life, how is he going to destroy us? Wipe us out.
Exactly. And what a lot of people don't understand is just like what we've been taught, and this is where a lot of people are missing it. You remember earlier in the conversation I was telling you when I was growing up, when I would do something wrong, people say, well, God will get you for that. But they never said Jesus will get you. Mm-hmm. And what the devil has done in society, we've got God and Jesus separated. We see God one way and Jesus another, but that ain't what Jesus said. Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. And that's what I'm telling you. God wants his people to look at Jesus Christ, that's our picture of God. If Jesus didn't get you, God can't get you. Sorry.
That's how we know God. That's how we get to see God.
Right. That's how people are getting deceived. The devil is getting them off of Jesus Christ. And where he gets them off from looking at Jesus a lot of times is when they get in trouble. You know, that brings me back to that story of Peter walking on the water. You know, you know the story. Peter said, "Lord Jesus, about you, tell me to come." And Jesus said, "Come." Well, old Peter, the old boy, jumped out of the boat, and he started walking on the water, man. Peter was a water walker. I mean, he's going to Jesus. But if you'll read the story, what happened was it said Peter got a looking around, and he got a looking at the wind and the waves, and they were boisterous, and he got his eyes off Jesus. In other words, he got a looking at the trouble, the tests and trials that was around him, and he got his eyes off of Jesus, who is God's love. And once he got his eyes off God's love, he started sinking. He started going down. But here's a good thing about God's love, Eric. Even when you miss it, man, even when you screw up, even when you're worse, what did Peter do? He said, "Jesus, help me." And that's what's happening a lot of times, man. People are getting in trouble, and they're not calling on Jesus. They're not calling on God's love that's in Jesus, and they don't come out of it. But, man, that's one of the best things you can ever learn. Lord Jesus, help me. Help me. Help me, Lord. And when you call on Jesus for his help, guess what? Who's going to show up? The Father. Because that's where all the help's coming from. It's coming straight from heaven, man. It's coming from the throne room. I mean, when you're serving Jesus Christ and you're doing what he says do and you're walking his love, man, God will turn flips off the throne up there to get you help down here when you need it. He's just waiting up there to show his love to his people and to bless them. Because God don't get no glory down here if his people are always struggling, if his people are always depressed, if his people are always... Man, God created everything. So you think he's in heaven when his people are sick and broke and can't pay their bills? That ain't getting God no glory. God only gets glory when we have life and we have it more abundantly here on this earth. Man, that's some good news, right? I'm almost excited out here. Man, I'm sitting out here looking at the moon and the stars and the skies. And you know, it says if you just come out and look at creation, you got to know that there's a creator that loves us and created all of this and sent his just. Man, he didn't create all this for us and not love us. Man, this is wonderful. God is a God of love, and that's all he is. Man, listen to me. God never comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God loves us. He loved us enough that he sent Jesus to die for us so that we could have an abundant life here on this earth. So people have got to quit letting the devil deceive them and getting them off track. Always look at God through Jesus Christ, what he taught, said it. And I'm just like you, Eric. And the devil did it to me. You go back and read the Old Testament without Jesus' teachings, and you will be a confused individual. And the Bible says that where there's confusion, there's ever evil work. So the devil's trying to confuse people back there.
I heard one minister say, this is probably the best I've heard explained, but he said that Jesus is perfect theology.
Uh-huh.
You won't go wrong when you stick with Jesus. He's perfect theology. And we've been reading in the Old Testament, and outside of the garden, I haven't read where Satan is getting blamed for anything.
No.
People
never
die, God. People live, God did it. People get blessed, God did it. People get their head chopped off, God did it.
That's the thing, you know, you and I have been taught, and it's a good statement. The only place that you can see the true God is in the garden before sin, before Adam and Eve sinned. You can see the true character of God there, and you can see it in Jesus Christ. But everything between Adam and Jesus, when you get in there, like you said, in the Old Testament, and that's where most of that is, you never see anybody blame the devil for anything. They always blame God. And it's because they didn't know, really. They didn't really know. Jesus said the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That's what I keep saying earlier. That's why God sent Jesus. He wanted to show the world who he really was, that he was not the one destroying. He was not the one killing. And if you go read the Old Testament, Eric, every time you see stealing, killing, and destroying, every time you see death in the Old Testament, if you'll read right before it, there's sin in front of it. God always let people reap what they sow. When you got sin and you're sowing sin, you can get ready, buddy. Death is coming to you. That's a principle.
Right.
That's a thing that God has set up, and it's not God doing it to you. You're reaping what you're sowing. God has to allow it because that's who God is. God is love, and when love says something, that's the way. He don't want us going through that, and it breaks his heart, I'm sure, you know, if you could break God's heart. But when his people are going through this and there's stuff going on, that ain't making God happy because that's not what he meant for us. You know, even hell, man, you know, people talking about going to hell. God didn't even create, he did not really create hell for humans. If you go read in Matthew, I think it's chapter 25, it says that God created hell for the devil and his angels. He didn't mean for humans to go there. He loves us too much. But if you choose to reject Jesus Christ and what he did for us on that cross, then you have chose, when you pass on from this earth, you have chose to spend eternity in a place called hell with the devil and his angels. And the thing about it is, Eric, that the whole time for eternity, if you're in hell, you wouldn't let him help you with his love. And that's the sad thing. Hell is full of people, and God's still loving them. But he couldn't help them because they rejected Jesus Christ. They rejected his teaching. And, you know, the devil might have used something like what we was talking about earlier, cancer or a child got taken or something, and that person blamed God, and they went through life, and they was mad at God and bitter at God, and they wouldn't accept his love through Jesus Christ, and that person died and went to hell, and then when he got in hell, the devil was sitting there laughing at him, saying, you didn't have to be here. God really loved you, but you wouldn't accept it, and he's going to laugh at him for eternity. Like, that's a torment right there. I mean, when you're sitting there in hell for eternity, man, and the devil's laughing at you every day, saying you didn't have to be here, that God loved you, and you rejected him, man, that's got to be terrible. That's got to be terrible to be in that situation. But that's not God's plan for mankind. God's plan for mankind is Jesus Christ. And it plainly says...
We got about 2 minutes left. Could you close us out in prayer, man, and just pray for people, man, who may be deceived, and pray that God open up their hearts, man, where they can really receive truth.
Sure, I'd love to. Father God, I just thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, Lord. I thank you for your creation, Lord, for all that you've done for us and all that you give us, Father God. Most of all, I thank you for your son, Jesus, for what he did for us on that cross, who he made us and what he provided. And Father God, right now my prayer is to you that all the people out there that the devil's deceiving, that he's working in their minds, he's working in religion, whatever avenue he's trying to work in, Lord, I just pray that you will open people's spiritual eyes of understanding, and you'll give them revelation knowledge of your love, the love that was in your son, Jesus Christ, Father God. Lord, I just pray that you'll do them like you did me, Lord, and just through the Holy Ghost, you'll begin to show them who you are and what you do and what you don't do, Lord, that you will show them that you are love, that you're for us and not against us, and, Lord, that you want to be a blessing to us down here, but we have to allow you to by doing what your son Jesus said. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for opening those eyes. I thank you for opening up the hearts and minds of men and women who everywhere around the world that's listening to this broadcast. And, Lord, even those that are not, that are being deceived, Father God, I just pray that you will reach out and send the Holy Ghost to touch them and just let them have some scripture that we talked about tonight, Lord, that your word is true, that Jesus is true, that what he taught, said, and did is the truth. And just start showing them that you love them, that you're for them and not against them. Lord, that they can walk in the fullness of life while they're here on this earth. Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We give you all the honor and glory. Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity tonight, Father God, with Eric. Lord, you know I love to share the gospel. I love to talk about Jesus and what he's done for us. And, Lord, I just thank you for being able to share. And I give you all the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Tony Vaden. Man, it's been excellent. And I just pray that these words will fall on somebody's hearts. They'll be changed and never be the same. Tony Vaden, thanks for coming on, man. And I'm going to close out the show. Thank you for tuning in. This is the Choose to Joy podcast. I'm Brother Eric. That was Brother Tony Vaden. And we hope to hear from you, or we'll probably be on air tomorrow. Or sometime soon, I'm not really sure. But God bless you. We are out.